Thank you all for joining this call to give you an update on the first half results. This is Bob Dimond, Chairman of Atlas Mara. We have on the phone from Gaborone, Botswana, John Staley. He's in a challenging phone area, so we may or may not be able to hear from John as we speak. But we also have Kenroy Dowers on the line with me, who's our Chief Financial Officer. So with that, let's jump in and give you a quick update of our half one results, and we're delighted to take questions after that. But my summary is very, very simple, and it's really about six things. First, we've had a profitable half year. It's nice to continue to see that trend. It's been a very challenging environment. The commodity cycle is still tough. We are seeing trade tensions internationally. There has been less foreign investment into Africa. We're seeing good signs from China, from Middle East, from Japan, talking about specific investments, but let's wait for those to happen before we get excited. Profitable half year, continued challenging environment. That's point number one. Point number two is we're seeing real stability in both our balance sheet and our expenses. We have not aggressively built the balance sheet in this environment. Loans are slightly down on a constant currency basis. Expenses remain very much under control. Three, very exciting to be on the phone with John Staley, our new CEO. The management experience, investment experience, technology and fintech and digital experience that John brings from having built so much of a very successful bank in Equity Bank is really exciting. Fourth, we were able to increase our stake in the first half to 49%. Fifth, UBN has given us a strong performance in the first half, stronger than we had expected, continue to have strong performance there around deposit taking, retail, NPLs, good management team, good interaction with Atlas Mara. And lastly, and most importantly, we're focused on protecting the balance sheet and increasing profitability. That's the highlight of the first half from my point of view. I'm now going to ask Kenroy Dowers, our CFO, to go into a bit more detail, and I'll come back before questions and answers with a few comments on our focus for 2018 and 19. If you're not speaking, if you could put your phone on mute, that would be great. We're hearing quite a bit of feedback. Kenroy.
Thanks, Bob, for your overview and introduction. As Bob mentioned earlier, H1 2018 demonstrated continuous positive performance in terms of profitability and stability in spite of the continuing challenges in macroeconomic conditions in our markets. H1 2018 also demonstrates a continued focus by our teams on enhancing operations of our banks and expanding our client base. In terms of our overall financial results, I invite you to turn to slide number 5 of the presentation. On slide number 5, we report a net profit of $28.6 million in H1 2018 compared to $11.4 million in the comparative period in 2017. Loans and advances reduced slightly to $1.28 billion in H1 2018 compared to $1.33 billion in H1 2017. This in line with the lag effect of strategic rollouts for some of our markets and also ensuring stringent credit criteria combined with day one impact of IFRS 9. Deposits continue to show an uptick from $1.89 billion in H1 2017 to $1.91 billion for H1 2018, reflecting the positive outcomes of a management focus on mobilizing retail deposits. We also saw a reduction in total impairments from $10 million in H1 2017 to $4.3 million in H1 2018, reflecting management's continued focus on strong credit underwriting standards for operations. Total impairments also reflect the impact of new impairments requirements introduced by IFRS 9. I invite you to turn to slide number 6, which provides more details on the group income performance in a more granular level. And I particularly want to focus on the bottom half of that page. On slide number 6, we show net interest margin for earnings assets reduced to 6.3% from the prior year of 7% due to increased cost of funds in In dollar terms, total operating income reduced from $112 million to $108 million relative to H1 2017. And Bob already mentioned the impact from our loan growth performance, and we'll come to that later on. There's a reduction in the credit loss ratio relative to 1.5% in the same period. Can I please ask if you are not on mute, if you can please mute your phone, there's a bit of disturbance. Thank you. I'll just continue. Return on assets.
It's getting worse, not better.
Thank you very much.
Return
on assets of 1.8% for H1 2018 compared to 0.8% for the same period of 2017, consistent with our profit performance for the period. Continuing on slide number six, while we continue to focus on reducing costs due to negative growth in the total loan book, the cost-to-income ratio is still above the target that we envisage. As you can see, it ended above 9% compared to 85% in a similar period. Just to highlight as a bit of a nuance, the increase in the cost-to-income ratio is not driven by increasing costs, but the revenue impact due to reduced loan book balance, and I'm happy to come back to that. In terms of overall balance sheet position, please turn to slide number seven, which highlights the stability of our balance sheet, as Bob mentioned earlier. I've already highlighted the growth in deposits, which is a positive fact and reflects the consistent management focus on retail mobilization. Non-performing loans decreased to $166 million from $169 million for the similar period of 2017. However, as a percentage of the loan book, NPLs increased to 12.9% compared to 12% for H1 2017. Due to the reduction in the total loan book over the current period. For more granular detail on the loan book composition and additional metrics on our book, we invite you to refer to slides 8, 9, and 10, and which gives you a little bit more granular level of the composition of balance sheet, the loan book, and also the distribution in terms of some of our assets. In terms of the capital position for banks, slide number 11 demonstrates that in all our bank operating subsidiaries, we have solid capital positions and operate above the minimum regulatory requirements, even after taking into account the impact of IFRS 9 on capital. Specifically, Zimbabwe being the most well-capitalized at a CAR ratio of 35% in line with our strategy for Zimbabwe. Rwanda has shown a slight reduction in CAR from 22.6% at the end of 2017 to 21.3% at the end of June 2018, and primarily due to our focus on strategic growth of the portfolio in Rwanda. Zambia also realized an uptick in CAR from 13.8% at the end of 2017 to 17% at the end of June. And if you look further, you would see that consistently we are above the minimum CAR ratio in the other markets in which we operate. On slides 12 and 13, we provide an update on investment in UBN. Bob already mentioned the stake is now 49% and the continuous improved conditions and contributions of UBN to overall performance. In H1 2018, UBN continued to demonstrate ongoing business improvements and contributed $17.4 million of net income to Atlas Mara's results. This is purely based on UBN's operational performance. We also highlighted the impact of during H1 2018, of the additional stake in UBN and that its contribution to overall Atlas Mara P&L. We saw an increase in gross earnings in UBN by 16%, underpinned by improved treasury income and recoveries. We also saw a slight increase in operating expenses, but the group retained earnings move into a positive position. Most notably, UBN's NPL ratio improved to 10.8% at the end of the period after having increased to 19.8% at the end of December 2017. This due to the ongoing efforts to resolve non-performing loans and credit risk management and the superb effort of the UBN's management team. I will now hand back over to Bob to wrap up the presentation. I'll be happy to answer questions you may have overall on the financial performance. Thank you.
Thank you, Kenroy. And before we go to questions, what is our focus for the balance of 2018 and into 2019? Number one, sustainable growth in retail and commercial banking. We want a balanced bank. We want to build both retail and commercial banking. We want to drive revenues. We want to reduce operating costs. We want to deliver, deleverage our subsidiaries I'll come to some of the ways we'll do that in a second. Two, we want to improve our asset quality. We were pleased to see an aggregate decrease in non-performing loans in this period, but it's something we're going to continue to focus on in all of our banks, is a reduction in non-performing loans and better ratios. Three, digital finance growth through improved technology. John Staley has done this before. He drove a lot of the growth at Equity Bank in digital and in technology. We're talking about a more efficient platform of IT and infrastructure, more integrated across the banks, and we're talking about digital access to our customers and clients. This is an area to watch, as we'll have an emphasis on technology as a competitive advantage in the market, which will create a transactional platform, and we will continue to use technology, to use John Staley's words, to gather sticky deposits at a lower cost. Fourth, we want to grow our markets business, both our clients, our product base, our onshore business, our offshore business. This is a competitive advantage, and we have more that we can do, particularly in Nigeria. And fifth, we will execute on our UBN Nigeria strategy. We've seen significant growth in that business over the last couple of reporting periods. We have real confidence in the management team and the direction they're going in. We've gone from three board positions to four board positions. We've gone from up to 49% in shareholding, and this is a key part of our plank, about two-thirds of our business. With that, I'm happy to open up for questions, but we recognize a lot of work to do, challenging environment, and appreciate your support. Operator, I'm ready for questions.
Thank you. If you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. There will be a brief pause while questions are being registered. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, it is 01 on your telephone keypad. The first question comes from the line of Guy Thomas. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, or good morning in the US. I have two questions. First question relates to the chairman's statement in the formal RNS statement. You refer to continued challenges in our growth and rate environments. I'm okay with growth. Rate environments is a bit generic. Can you sort of give a bit more detail on that, perhaps in different countries?
Yeah, it didn't come through really well, Guy, but let me tell you what I think you said and push back if I didn't answer the right question. I think that in the macro environment, we're seeing central banks around the world move from easy monetary policy to less easy monetary policy, putting some pressure on rates. And we've seen, certainly in the last couple of months, a move out of growth or emerging markets into developed markets. We're not going to predict the end of that. We think it may be well done, it may not be well done, but I think in terms of the challenges we face in growth markets like Africa, the commodity cycle is stabilized, but I wouldn't call it a positive. Trade tensions around the world are impacting investment in growth markets like Africa, and central bank policy driving higher rates in some of the major economies is going to have an impact. And while we see signs from China, from the Middle East, from Japan, of specific targets to invest in Africa, we're not seeing the details yet. So we're planning our business over the next 6 to 18 months as if it'll continue to be a challenging environment.
Okay, thank you. Let me just check I've understood that. The main problem with higher rates is sort of funds exiting sort of your markets as a whole. I mean, within your markets, higher rates should be helpful as a bank in general, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I see what you mean, but we're commenting in terms of flow investments into Africa. The trade tensions, commodity cycle, things like that have an impact on flow of funds into growth markets. That's how I was referring to it, not the micro in terms of in-country. As you've seen there, we've increased our deposit position, which is exactly the position we want to be in all of our banks.
Okay, thank you. That's clear now. Good. My second question is just on slide 11, the capital adequacy ratios. You did mention Zimbabwe. You referred to something about in line with your strategy in Zimbabwe. Can you just explain a bit why capital adequacy is so much higher in Zimbabwe?
So, just to be very clear, the minimum regulatory requirements is 12%. I think our strategy has always been to manage our exposure and balance the growth in Zimbabwe in terms of risk assets, which is hence the reason why we've had excess in, I would say, capital. As we look to the future and we see opportunities that come up now in terms of given the change in climate on the ground, we believe that it allows us to be far more focused in terms of taking on more risk, building the book. But historically, we've been a bit balanced in terms of how we manage the overall portfolio. So that's the result for of this excess capital, one would say, on the books. And quite frankly, it does position us well for the future.
Okay, thank you. That's me done. Thank you.
Thank you, Guy.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Manfaladi from Rand Merchant Bank. Please go ahead.
Good day. I just wanted clarity with regards to the table. So table one on the, which has the metrics comparing from year to year. And I'm specifically referring to the cost to income ratio. So you mentioned in your presentation that the reason for the increase was not as a result of the cost being higher, but as a result of the loan book decrease. Can you please just clarify that and elaborate on that?
Sure. Thank you. What I mentioned earlier was that if you look in year on year, in terms of pure costs, it's very slight uptake. However, from a cost income ratio, it's really the denominator in terms of the income not growing in the same commensurate rate. And this is also driven by the fact that we've had slight reduction in terms of overall loan book. I mentioned it reduced from 1.3 to 1.28 in terms of the loan book growth. Also provided a bit of color in terms of what's driving that, some of what Bob said, some of what I said. So inherently, it's while the net, the cost-to-income ratio, definitely not where we want it to be, there's significant work for us to drive. It's really more of a revenue factor as opposed to a cost factor. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. At the moment, we do not have any further questions. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, it is 01 on your telephone keypad for any final questions. And at the moment, we do not have any further questions. So I'll hand the word back to Bob Diamond. Please continue.
Thank you, operator. You can first of all, thank you. The focus for 18 and 19 is on sustainable growth, improving our asset quality, driving digital finance and technology, driving our successful markets business, and executing further on our strategy in Nigeria. We appreciate your support. Thank you for joining the call, and we're all here if you have any further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.